Chopper video shows a devastating scene. Just west of Wabash on U.S. 24, two people shot to death. 41-year-old state police officer Dave Rich stopped to help what he thought was a stranded driver. That's when 21-year-old Joseph Voltaggio shot him with his shotgun. Then he reloaded and shot himself.
So, Dave and I met at an apartment that we both lived at, and he was my state trooper, but we hardly barely talked. It was, hi, see ya. And then he moved out and started building his house and broke up with a girlfriend, and he called me up, and we went out, and actually we started talking first, and we went out, and it was just the greatest thing ever. I mean, we got married about 3 years after that on March 28th, 1998. And the next year in the fall, we had our first daughter, Lauren, who she could do no wrong in her dad's eyes. She was just his princess. And a lot of people said that she was his princess and I was his queen, and that is exactly how he made us feel. So then, move forward 3 years, and we were pregnant again, and we went to the doctor, and there was two. Dave was like, wow, I'd have been happy with one, and I was like, but we got two. So we were blessed then with two twin boys, and our family was complete. Right after the twins were born, he became detective, and we just celebrated because we thought he is scot-free. Nothing happens to detectives. I mean, they're safe, they're in their offices, they're out, and everything's okay now. Well, it wasn't. So it was his July 5th, 2007 was his first day to go back to work after a couple days off, and it was time for me to stay home with the kids. So he got up and went to work, and we have a swimming pool, and I remember him telling me, the last thing he told me was, if you get in the pool, make sure you put the floaty wings on the boys. Yes, Dave, I'll put the floaty wings on the boys. So we actually were in the pool, me and the kids, and it was about 10 till 4, and I heard what sounded like a car just racing in my driveway, and I was, whatever. And Dave was supposed to get off work at 4. So I knew it wasn't him. And it was my best friend, who's also a dispatcher, and her husband is a fireman. And she says, Connie, you got to get the kids out of the pool. And I was like, why? You know, what's going on? Whatever. And we were getting the kids out of the pool, and we go in the basement, and I think she said, it's Dave. That's all she said. So I didn't want my kids to be alarmed, because at the time, my daughter was 7 and the boys were 4. So we were getting them dried off and everything, and I'm asking, you know, what's wrong? And she just said, it's Dave and it's not good. And I remember telling her in my kitchen, take the kids upstairs, I have to go pray. And it just overcame me, and I just went to my bedroom, and I got down on my hands and knees like you did when you're little in Sunday school, and I just prayed to God. And at this time, I didn't know if he had been in a car accident or it was a gunshot or anything. I did not know what I was praying for, other than I was praying for my husband and basically for God to be with him. So she gets the kids dressed and everything. I don't want to say compose myself, because I still don't know what's going on, but I come out of the bedroom and we meet up, and nobody's telling me anything. Well, I hear a knock on the door, and it's a state trooper. Well, that's kind of the police officers' wives talk about the knock on the door. You don't ever want that. My friend's husband, the fireman, had arrived, and I still don't know if Dave's alive, if he's, you know, whatever. And one of them, I don't even know who, said, Connie, it was a gunshot. And again, it was like, okay, that's worse than an accident, you know, whatever. But again, I don't know if he's alive or he's gone. I remember sitting at the table and Dave Phillips sat across from me, and I just looked at him. I said, tell me the truth. What happened? Where is he? And he told me then, and it was probably about an hour later, I'm guessing 45 minutes, that my husband had passed away from a gunshot wound. And I was one that I said, I want to see him. And everyone, no, Connie, you don't. They tried to talk me out of it. And I said, I want to see him. And someone's taking me. So we went to the hospital at the morgue. And when an officer dies, he's never left alone until he's buried or cremated, however the family decides. So he had a guard with him 24/7, and there was one in the morgue as well. And I got to say goodbye to my husband in the morgue. I promised him that I would raise our kids to know him and for him to be proud of me and our family. So I left the hospital and I went home knowing that I had to do the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, was to tell my three kids that their dad had been killed and was never coming home. My kids had just lost their father, and I did not want them to lose their mother by what was going on in my head, or hatred or anger or just laying in bed depressed all the time or anything like that. I knew Dave and I would want me to go on and raise these kids. So this man that took my husband's life also took his own. I remember saying I was glad that he took his own life. I guess I was more glad that he did that so that I didn't have to go through a trial in court, relive everything, hash everything over. But at the same point, I have never looked at this guy's picture. It's kind of protected me from, because I knew I did not want my heart full of hatred. I can tell you his first name. His last name was a longer, stranger name. I don't refer to the man that took my husband by name or by, because that associates a person that I don't want to hate. I don't want my kids to hate someone. Life's too short to hold anger. I didn't have a person to truly forgive because he did kill himself. But over the years, I've forgiven him. I hope my kids have. And God has helped me forgiving. I'll never forget. And I'll never forget my husband. My kids will never forget their dad. But through God's grace, we're okay.